I went up to your room to get some little thing, and there it overtook me, all the grief I'd tried so hard to keep submerged. In the midst of all these dear, reminding things, that courage drained away.
Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag. Helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life, here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about heaven. Many of you have heard me quote from a woman named Amy Carmichael. She was an Irish missionary to India, and her books have very powerfully shaped my spiritual life, my thinking. I rarely write a book or give a talk without quoting from Amy Carmichael. And when Amy Carmichael was dying, she had been an invalid in her room, confined to her room almost entirely for about 20 years. And as she drew nearer to the time of her death, she found greater and greater consolation in this beautiful hymn by Anna L. Waring. Anna L. Waring, some of you may not know, is the author of the perhaps one of the most famous hymns in Christendom, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. But Amy Carmichael kept this hymn by her bed and had it memorized, I'm sure, and went over the words. And I love this hymn. And for those who are Christians and yet fear the changes that old age brings and the possible pain and illness which may stand between them and death, I would give you these wonderfully comforting words. Her hymn is entitled, In Heavenly Love, Abiding. And again, I emphasize, it's written by Anna L. Waring, loved by Amy Carmichael, but it was not written by Amy Carmichael. In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear. And safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? Wherever he may guide me, no want shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. His wisdom ever waketh, his sight is never dim. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. Green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be o'er me, where the dark clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure. My path to life is free. My Savior has my treasure, and he will walk with me. A mother who is ill with cancer and thinking of her little children being left motherless. What a word of comfort. My Savior has my treasure, and he will walk with me. Amy Carmichael had to leave hundreds of beloved Indian children when she died. I'm sure that she must have had them in mind as she said these words. I must read to you from Hebrews chapters 1 and 2 in connection with this subject of last week and this week, heaven. The sun is the radiance of God's glory, and sun is referring to Christ there, spelled S-O-N. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son." About the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him." Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Am I speaking to someone today who is not sure how to get to heaven? Jesus Christ came and shared our humanity. He died on the cross so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. If you don't know Christ, surely death must be an awesome and a fearsome thing. But if we know Christ, we know that we shall see him, and we shall be made like him, and we will worship him and love him forever. Will you come to him? He asks you to come to him, and he said, "Him that cometh to me, I will never reject." Come to Jesus. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And I want to end this program with just a lovely little poem. It's just a very simple poem written by somebody named Nina B. Rockefeller. I have no idea who she was. I've never seen anything else by her. But this was sent to me by a widow missionary from Colombia named Pat Schulert when I became a widow in Ecuador in 1956. Pat sent me this poem. "I went up to your room to get some little thing, and there it overtook me, all the grief I'd tried so hard to keep submerged. I'd kept my courage up, been brave, and even smiling. Now, in the midst of all these dear reminding things, that courage drained away. It was pretense. This was reality. Nothing in me was beautiful or brave. I know not when it was he slipped into the room and took my hand in his. Perhaps he'd been there all the time, and I had been too near, too occupied with striving to be brave to sense his nearness. He said, 'Let not your heart be troubled. I am always here.' I leaned my head against his breast. Slowly his peace filled all my anguished soul. His was the courage. His the joy. And they were mine for just the taking. He filled my every need. I longed for no one else, not even you, with his hand clasped in mine. And then, oh, sweet surprise, oh, gift of love divine, he let me see his other hand. And there you were, your hand held fast in his. You, I, and he, held close together by those pierced hands, enfolded, wrapped within that wondrous love. He smiled. Had you forgotten? Nothing can pluck my own from out my grasp. Oh, may I ever keep you close by keeping close to him. I love that little poem because there were times when I felt closer to Jim when he died than I had ever felt to him when he was here on earth, because I knew that he was with Christ in a way that I wasn't, and that both he and Christ still loved me. Surely anyone we love on earth, we're not going to love less when we get to heaven. And I knew that Jim was safe. And I often think of George MacDonald's words, "If you knew what God knows about death, you would clap your listless hands."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.